Welcome, friends, to Battle Site for Christ. Let's open with a word of prayer before we get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this another opportunity to bring forth this message, Lord, that I pray, Lord, that it will be pleasing unto you, and that it will generate, Lord, the kind of hope that people need today, Lord, that everyone who listens will listen with their ears wide open. And Lord God, when all is said and done, may hearts be won to thee, and may the minds of those who listen, Lord, have a decision to make, and that decision would be for Jesus Christ. For it's in his name I ask. Amen. Amen. Okay, welcome once again. Now, the title I've given my message today is Believed or Deceived. Believed or Deceived. Now tell me, sir, do you believe in God? Sir, tell me, do you believe in God?
Well, of course I do. I think we all believe in God, a God of some sort. There has to be a higher power.
Then tell me, sir, do you believe that if you were to die this very day, you'd go to heaven?
Why not? I'm as good as the next guy. I'm a good provider. I'm a good family man. I pay my taxes.
Ah, so, does that mean you fit into God's plan for salvation?
Well, why not? You know, you don't have to be a fanatic about religion.
Oh, so you believe there is a heaven, right?
Of course.
What about a hell? Do you believe in hell?
Nope.
So, if you don't make it to heaven, then where do you think you'll go?
Well, we all eventually end up in heaven. We may have to spend a little time in purgatory, but God would never send anybody to hell.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's about the way it goes, and a lot of times you're trying to lead someone to the Lord. Especially if they're still struggling with Catholicism. That's it, folks. It's easy as falling off a log. Or is it? Therein is the title I've given my message. Believed or Deceived. Believed or Deceived. My religious beliefs, well, were born and bred in Catholicism. In my 45 years as a Mick, I learned everything I was told to believe, from Sunday school at the nunnery to allowing the body of Christ to dissolve on my tongue without touching him with my teeth. As a young boy growing up in a small Catholic town in rural Nova Scotia, well, I learned that everything a priest told me to do or believe, I was not to question him in no way. And that the only way my sins would be forgiven is if I went to confession every week and told Father Priest, what's-his-face, all my deep, dark secrets. And what kind of deep, dark secrets can a child have? Well, that remains. Anyway, whether it turned on or not, it didn't matter. It was always the same, week after week. Whether it was stealing, cussing, or kicking the neighbor's dog. 10 Hail Marys, 1 act of contrition, 3 Our Fathers, and a Glory Be. If you knew it, I never knew them. A visit to the grotto and a few Hail Marys were added if my sins were real whoppers, door stoppers, you know. And be sure to leave your meager allowance at Mary's feet in the grotto, okay? So the priest could buy himself a box of cigars. Now, oh, well. I invite you to read my personal testimony, if you will. It's on my website, of course, and you'll find it under the heading Resume. As soon as you open Resume, it's right there. I think you'll be blessed by it. As I mentioned, I've titled my sermon, Believed or Deceived. Now, is this not the general mindset of people today? If the word of God comes from a guy on the street, I mean, who wants to believe it? But if it comes from some high-ranking clergy wearing a white collar or a beanie with a dress to match, then suddenly the words become golden, right? The word I find that is seldom used when given witness to someone today is the word faith. Faith, F-A-I-T-H. And that's sad, you know, because the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please God. Without faith, we can never go to heaven. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, we read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Lest any man should boast. Many people today simply take God's word for granted and go with His grace is sufficient. Well, His grace is sufficient. If you're a true Christian, yes. But it's a grace we must believe in. Totally believe in. Not just when we feel like it. Not when it suits our wants, our desires. No. We must believe. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's what the Bible says. Repent and believe. Believe in something. We must believe in something, right? Or else we will fall for anything, as the saying goes. Now, this is what my message is all about. I'm about to hammer Hebrews 11. You know Hebrews 11? Well, I'm going to really give it a good hammering today. So get ready. You want to open your Bibles? You can. To Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. And we'll take a good, strong look at that. Yeah, I've made it a point, actually. And you will understand that faith, which is what the faith chapter is all about, of course, is faith. Faith is, as the first verse says, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that might sound like a little tricky when you first read it, but I'm sure you'll get over that. You will understand it completely before we're finished. Now, tell me, have you seen God? No, neither have I. So, how do you know that God exists? By faith. By faith. The elders throughout the Bible obtained a good report. How? By faith. By faith. How many people have you heard say, "Well, I hope I'm going to heaven"? Yes, the Bible speaks of such a hope. But that's all it is until we add faith. You see, God can give us hope. But He can't give us faith. And hope without faith is hopeless. Hope without faith is hopeless. You may have heard the familiar song, "Faith, Hope, and Charity." Well, which one is first? Even the songwriter nailed it. Faith in what Christ did at Calvary. Faith is the action word. If you want hope, well, I won't go through all the great examples, but I preach sometimes in a church and sometimes in a senior's home. And no matter how many times I give out the gospel and afterwards go and speak to them individually in their chairs, it seems that when I ask the age-old question, "Do you know if you died today you'd go to heaven?" the response is usually, "Well, I hope so. Well, I hope so. God forgive me if I grit my teeth. hoping so, won't cut it, won't do it. You've got to have faith with it. Let us take a look at some of the great people of faith in Hebrews 11. See what we mean. Build on what we're talking about here. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Wow. He did not die. God took him because he pleased God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Now take note. This is not a contradiction to Hebrews 9:27, which says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. No. I'll say this and let it be. Listen carefully. Only our great judge in glory can make such an appointment null and void. Three words prompted God to make such a decision. In Enoch's case, they were. He pleased God. Do you please God? Do you please God? We all like to think we do, don't we? You know, pleasing God isn't just going to church on Sunday morning or Sunday night even, or Wednesday or Thursday night. No. Pleasing God is to glorify God. Glorify Him. And how do we do that, you ask? How do I glorify God? It's very simple. Very simple. By walking daily in His shoes. By praising His name to others you meet along the way. By holding fast to the truth and being steadfast in His word. Let's move on to verse 7. We all know about Noah. However, there is still that group, you know that group, who wonder about the building of the ark. Who would have believed such a story if you were not moved by faith? Faith. There it is again. And then there's Abraham, the father of faith. Was he not about to slay Isaac, his son, because he believed God would show mercy, which he did by providing a lamb caught in a nearby thicket? Remember what Abraham said when Isaac asked his father, where was the sacrifice for the burnt offering? Those famous words Abraham uttered, God will provide Himself an offering for the sacrifice. This, of course, was a type of Jesus Christ. God will provide Himself. A lot of people miss that. They think God will find something else that will be a sacrifice. But actually, the sacrifice God was referring to was Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. Verse 24. You know, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. You know that, huh? Okay. Now let's go to verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's all it is, a season. What you're enjoying down here on the earth that's not pleasing to God is only for a season. That season will end when you have ended your life's term. Now let's go to verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. 7 days. You know, faith is exemplified at least 23 times in chapter 11 alone. Now, what about hope? Where does hope fit in? On its own, hope is dead. Hope is hopeless. Romans 8:24 tells us that hope that is seen, in other words, hope that is manifested before your eyes, is not hope. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says about faith, hope, and charity, and that the greatest of these is what? Charity. Now, what is charity? What is charity? Well, charity is the love action brought forth by faith. The more faith you have in God, then the more charity or love will you show to others. For example, when you help feed and clothe the homeless and the little children around the world, then you perform an act of charity. And charity is love, brought on by what? By faith in a holy and righteous God. You see, your charity provides hope for the little children, the homeless, the sick, the hungry. Your charity. And do not for one moment, do not imagine that you can hope your way to heaven through your charity. That's work salvation, and it can't be done. People from their dying bed have donated all that they have, millions in some cases, hoping their generosity or good works will get them to heaven. It won't. It won't. Faith outclasses hope at every turn. You can hope for rain to come and make your crops grow. You can hope for a good catch of fish, that your nets will be filled. You can hope for a good grade in your schoolwork. You can hope for the proverbial cows to come home. But without faith, without God in the picture, that's all you'll ever have, is hope. Hope. And if what you hoped for doesn't come about, then who gets the credit? You or God? It's the nature of man to take credit for all his gain. It's just natural for man to do that, whether it be about the weather or little Susie getting over a bout with the flu. Man, they say things like, man, was she ever lucky? Girl, wasn't she some luckier? I say unto you, your luck runs out at the cemetery. That's where your luck runs out, for sure. Oh, there's nothing like faith. The faith chapter is a great chapter, you know. I'd like to read verses 30 and 31 of the faith chapter. I think we should add this to it because it's just so ultra important. Chapter 11, verses 30 and 31. It says here, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Right? I mentioned that. I alluded to that earlier. Now, in verse 31, we read, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. She did God's will there, so she didn't perish with the spies.
you can have faith and be saved, but you cannot have salvation by hope. You can't say, I hope I get saved, and just leave it there. That's not the way God does things. First of all, you have to repent. Now, repent is a word that a lot of people don't like to use. They call it lordship salvation, and nothing could be further from the truth. Repenting is simply turning. You're going that way, you turn, you come this way. You're thinking those things, you change your mind, and you think these things. In other words, when it comes to salvation, and you want to give your life over to Christ, you repent by turning away from what you're doing that's un-Christ-like or not Christ-like, and you give yourself over to Christ and believe in Him. You understand? That's repenting. Now, because you repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ is not going to mean that you will not sin, because we all sin, perhaps not as much, but we sin as long as we are in these worldly bodies and will be in them until the rapture of the church. Then our bodies will be changed as we are taken out by Jesus Christ, like unto His glorious body. But we're under the blood, and that's what makes us a part of the family of God. You've got to understand that. And if you don't believe in that, then you don't have faith. Anybody can have hope. I hope I win the lottery. Oh, I hope little Johnny gets home. It's getting late. But faith is a completely different thing. It's faith that manifests hope. I know Johnny will be home. He's always home by 8 o'clock. Well, I don't know if I'll win the lottery. All I can do is hope. That's not faith. But faith won't help you win the lottery either. So don't get discouraged there. As we come to the conclusion of this sermon, allow me to say this. This is important. By faith, the month of October 1987, a drunken remnant of a man was lifted from the miry clay of a roadside ditch and given a new start on a life that had lost its meaning. By faith, the same man was freed from the tentacles of Catholicism. By faith, the same man was scorned and persecuted by his own family because he cared enough to give to them the same saving gospel of Jesus Christ. By faith, the same man, while undergoing multiple afflictions of the flesh, received from God the spiritual and physical stamina that was necessary to lead a group of would-be Christians on a journey with Christ. By faith, the same man spiritually grounded multitudes of elderly patients at a high-end nursing home and was permitted through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit to witness the fruits of his labor. By faith, this same vessel, though afflicted by great physical torment, saw the healing power of a loving God push into remission one cancer after another until God himself had strengthened me anew and allowed me to go forth into the fields that were white all ready to harvest. Faith. The years have passed slowly, very slowly, for this servant of the Most High. And though afflictions of the flesh
sometimes arise and cause a temporary stay, God has remained faithful to allow me to continue in His service. And thus shall I do until He calls me home. By faith, I trust, I believe, and I praise God. Amen.